36 is where we are. Job 36, verse 22. And I thought we'd get the whole chapter last week, but that didn't work out. So in this chapter, in Job 36, you have four times the word behold occurs in Elihu's comments here. And those four times really correspond well with a verse in Revelation or verses in Revelation. But there's more practical stuff in here than we'll just read the verses. The subject this morning is this. Let me just give you the subject. So the subject this morning is magnifying the work of God. And we kind of mentioned it in Sunday school, but the purpose of the Lord saving souls is not to go to heaven. And although that's a great benefit, but the purpose of the Lord saving souls is to remove sin from the life of the soul and give that person an opportunity to serve the living God, and so you would magnify the work of God. And in these verses, we'll read them, Job 36, verse 22, and that's the subject, magnifying the work of God. Job 36, verse 22 says, "Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Who can say, Thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold." That's the application. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. So magnifying the work of God, that's the subject this morning. Let's pray, and we'll talk about that. Father, I pray that, first of all, for everybody that's sick and or traveling. I know Gary and Rhonda are back in California, traveling over there to see Rhonda's dad and get things straight and organized over there. Lord, I pray that you'd intervene there. Help family, help everything get situated the way it needs to be. And for everybody that's here, Father, I pray you would feed your flock this morning. I pray you'd help us. Help us understand these verses. Help us get the right perspective on this life. And Lord, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we desperately need your help. I need your help. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the book of Job, I think we have covered the narration, the content of it pretty significantly over the last few weeks. But just to go over it briefly again, so Job has gone through a horrible situation, lost his family, lost everything he has, and done all that in a very brief time. And it was done because the Lord suggested to the devil that that Job was a good man, a faithful man, and that the devil's philosophy of man and Job, of any man really, was that if you put enough pressure on him or give him enough pleasure, he will curse God, and that's the devil's philosophy on the thing. And so the devil is allowed to do what he wants to with Job, except just not kill him. And so he takes everything, all his 10 children in a day. He kills all the children. He destroys Job's property, destroys Job's cattle and ranch and all the things he owns and possesses. And if that weren't bad enough, if that didn't take enough of an emotional toll on Job, then these three friends show up and they, instead of comforting Job, they just accuse Job and tell Job why he's such a horrible person, Obviously, because bad things have happened to him, at least this is their philosophy. Because such horrible things have happened to you, Job, that obviously means you're some wicked sinner, and you're just hiding some sin from God, and so you just need to come out and confess that you need to get right with God because your life is a mess because you're a wicked person. And none of that's true. Job's not wicked. Job hasn't done anything wrong. But after enough of these accusations, Job finally starts to do the thing he said he didn't ever want not only him, but not his family to do, and he starts to bring an accusation against God and to say God is wicked in his dealings. God is unrighteous in the way he's been treated here. And Job says that to promote his own righteousness, to say, I'm right, God's wrong. And Elihu comes in as the last man on the scene here, and he is the voice of the Lord in this. I don't think I've heard other guys preach that he's just as bad as the other guys, but I don't see that at all. The things Elihu says are not in line with what the other guys said, and they're all of them are in line with justifying God and proclaiming God as righteous, which is the right thing. But in all this with Job, one of the things that really gets lost in his life is where is God's work in all this? And that's the question. Where is, and that's Job's question. Where is God in all this? And so when Elihu says what he's about to say, the very successful work of the devil in this world, as seen in Job, as seen anywhere else, the very successful work of the devil is to make God's work very small and to almost make it disappear and to make people say, where is God in this? And that once a person comes to those terms, the devil has done his work very successfully. He has blinded the hearts and the minds of people so that they, when they take a look at the world and they take a look at their relationships and they take a look at their family and they take a look at things going on, the question is, where in the world is God in all this? And that's exactly what the devil wants people to say. So he's been successful. I would say he's been very successful in that. And so his work is, when a person starts to lose sight of the work of God, the devil has sufficiently covered it, he sufficiently wrapped it in tragedy so that the work of God is almost microscopic, I mean, if you can put it that way. And I use that word because when Elihu starts to explain this to Job, or starts to give some, I don't know if it's instruction, but just try to help Job out. One of the things he says is, remember to magnify the work of the Lord. The devil's work is to make the work of the Lord very small, almost to the point that you can't see it, or you wouldn't recognize it if you saw it. But the work of God's people is to take the work of the Lord and make it bigger. Magnify. You take a magnifying glass and you take something that you may not be able to see with your own naked eye there, and you put a magnifying glass on it, and then that little tiny thing that you couldn't really see becomes much bigger. And so you apply this to what Job's going through. Job has been through the mill. And so to find the work of God in Job's life, you would say the devil has been extremely successful in hiding the work of God. When Job looks at his life, when the three friends show up and they look at Job's life, they can't even find the work of God. And Elihu shows up and he says, remember now, your work here is not to criticize your maker or to bring accusation against your maker. Your work is to magnify the work of your Creator. So that's what we're going to talk about. You could say the current circumstances of Job make God's grace look very small. I mean, if you just read through the book of Job, you would, before you get to the end, if you don't get to the end, you just read through part of it, you would think God's grace is very, very small. You could say that the current circumstances of Job make God's love look very, very small, just tiny. You could say that in Job's circumstances, it looks like God's faithfulness is very, very small. And all of those things, to take the work of God, take the character of God, and conceal them, to make them small, to make them invisible to the naked eye, and to make them unable to be seen, that is the successful work of the devil. To blind men's hearts and minds from the work of God. So here's what Elihu says in verse 22. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him in his way? That's like who's commanded him. Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Who's going to accuse God? Verse 24. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. First of all, that is what Elihu is doing with his own argument, with his own comments to Job. Elihu shows up, and not only is Elihu telling Job, this is what your life is supposed to be. Now, when the devil gets in there, he's going to turn it around and make it the opposite of this, but your life is to magnify the work of God. And this is what Elihu's doing. He has been, from the very first point of when he started talking, he has been making very much of God, of his righteousness, of his goodness, showing there's some things that are hidden from all the folks that are just kind of watching. They're not considering that God has some other things going on, and that maybe there's more to this situation than just your emotional trauma. There's more to this. There's much more to this. The righteous magnify the wonderful work of God. Job's being encouraged to magnify the work of God. That's what Elihu's doing. He's magnifying the work of God in the midst of a terrible tragedy and pain. He's suggesting praising God where praise of God would seem real small. We'll make more application at the end here, but I think you get the idea. There are things in your life, and folks in here right now, things that you've gone through, things that you're going through, things that happen, and those events are going on, those circumstances are going on, what you feel like is, where is God in all this? What you feel like is, where's the hand of God in this thing? And you can't find, you're thinking, you're trying to, it's not even, maybe if you thought about it a little bit more, you could find it, but it's almost an accusation, like God doesn't care about me, he doesn't love me, he doesn't have any grace, his character is obviously flawed. But it's praise. I think that's why he says over there in Hebrews, he calls it the sacrifice of praise, which we'll get to in a little bit. You honor the Lord where the honor seems just like minimal. You thank God where the gratitude seems to disappear. Like, what am I supposed to thank God for in this? But I think if you think about it, if you really thought about it and look back, some of you that have come through some things, And you've endured some stuff, and you look back, you could say, for everything that I have to complain about, I can think of 10 reasons why God is good. I'll use the example again. Just it's a familiar example to me, and It I don't know. So when one of our children died, because you guys have had that experience, that is something that is, it's if that's all you get out of it, it is separation from a loved one. And some of you spend a lot more time than we did with our baby, you know. But that separation, that's all you got out of it, and you just start accusing God. When Mary Beth and I stepped back and thought about it, we could think of literally, for every one complaint, we could think of 10 things why God was good in that situation. And that's you know what that is? That is magnifying your Maker. If you just focus on the pain, if you just focus on the bitterness, okay, now you've taken sides with the devil, and the blindness of God's work is covering your eyes, covering your heart, covering your mind. And Elihu, just like that, Elihu is trying to help Job remember, you know, for every terrible tragedy, Job, There are other things that God's done that you could expand on, that you could magnify His goodness for. But I realize that this time that the pain is so traumatic and so stressful and so troubling and such bitterness there that it's hard to think about the good stuff. That's why Elihu's explaining and saying what he's saying. And I know he's trying to do it gently. He's not trying to be mean about it. He's trying to do it gently. But the purpose is, and the application is, magnify the work of God. Why? Because here's the work of the devil: to make the work of God seem very small. And if you just consider the devil's side of it, you'll have the devil's perspective of God. That God's work is minimal. It doesn't really make any difference. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care for you. He hasn't really done anything for you. That's the perspective Satan would have you have of God. But God's perspective is there is much more to this story than just this pain that you're feeling. Magnify the work of God. Let me jump to the end here and give you the prophetic perspective of all this. So in this chapter, that's number one, magnify the work of God. Number two, the inevitable magnification of the Lord. When Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says, every eye shall see Him. There won't be any hidden work now. It will be completely open. Every eye will see Him, just like you see the sun. Everyone in the world sees the sun. Every eye will see Him. And every eye will behold Him. And so in Job 36, you've got the word behold in verse 5. You've got the word behold in verse 22. The word behold in verse 26. The word behold in verse 30. And it's a great outline for the chapter. The first behold, he's going to describe the kingdom of priests. The second behold, which is where we're at in verse 22, he's going to describe magnifying the work and every eye seeing the work of God. So let's jump to the end where the inevitable magnification of the work of God is. Look over in Revelation. I'll just show this one to you again. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Verse 6. Revelation 1, 6. Revelation 1, 6. So this is a good outline for this chapter, at least prophetically, talking about the future and the Lord Jesus Christ returning. It says in verse 6, He hath made us kings and priests unto God and to His Father. That's at the return of Jesus Christ, made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. That's the first behold there in Job 36. To Him be glory, back over in Revelation 1:6, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds. All right, that's going to be your third behold. And every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. That's your second behold. Every eye shall see him. You can go back to Job now. I just wanted to show you that verse, remind you of it, because it's a good outline for this chapter. But there is coming a day where God's work will inevitably be manifest throughout the world. When Jesus Christ returns, there will be no hiding God's work anymore. The whole purpose of creation, we're going through it on Wednesday night in Colossians, and the purpose of creation, Jesus Christ is the creator. The Bible says all things are created by him, and all things are created for him. He is the pinnacle of all things. He is the head of all things. And inevitably, there is coming a day when that will be manifestly clear. Right now, it's not. Right now, if you just look at the world as it is, sometimes it's kind of hard to see the work of God. If you just maybe turn on the news or whatever, and just all the turmoil and all the stuff going on, just observation of the world. The world system is built so that God's work is very small in it, or at least looks very small, or looks non-existent. Where is God in all this? That would be a normal question by people who don't trust the Lord, don't trust their Creator. Where is God in all this? And when you ask that question, the devil has successfully done his work. The Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost. So that's his work. But there's coming a day when the God of this world will be bound, will be taken away, will be put in chains, and Jesus Christ will rule as King of Kings, and his work will be magnified throughout all the earth. The Bible says, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I mention these prophetic things to say this. This is where everything is headed. Someone said it the other day. They said, and I've heard it said, and I've probably said it before, they say something like, you know, all roads lead to Rome, or all roads lead to whatever. And I think I said it Wednesday night. The fact is, all roads lead to Jesus Christ. It's just a question of how you're going to get there. Are you going to get there in your sin and be judged by Jesus Christ? Or do you get there in mercy because you've trusted Jesus Christ? But everyone will stand, you'll stand before Jesus Christ. You'll be judged, but white throne, all that kind of stuff. God's judgment in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, by him he will judge the whole world. Everything is headed in that direction. It's inevitable that God's work will be magnified. So if that's where it's going, that's where it's going, that's the path this is on. It may not look that way, but that's the path it's on. Then the application for our lives is exactly what Elihu said. Remember that thou magnify his work. That's your job. That's my job. That's Job's job. That's Elihu's job. Remember that thou magnify his work. What does that mean? Here's the application. That means you praise God where the praise would seem very small. You think about you have a choice. I have a choice. That when something happens that you and I can't control, some trouble enters into our life we can't control, we have a choice. We can either seek the Lord to find out what he's doing in this, seek the Lord for his help, try to magnify him, and the Bible says, offer the sacrifice of praise. I'll tell you, there is it is a phenomenon. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the person, really. You can have a person that has everything and is just as bitter as all get out. And I've been to some hospital rooms where the person is sick, and you know what? They are just as joyful and as gracious. You know what the difference is? One magnifies the work of God, and one minimizes the work of God. One takes the work of God and says, oh, God is so good. He's been so good to me. I mean, I know this body is failing, but you know what? God's been good. Forgiveness of sins. I mean, I don't deserve any of this stuff. And the other person is, well, if they would just do this or I could just do that. You know, God shouldn't let this happen to me. That's the difference between someone magnifying the work of God in their trouble and someone minimizing the work of God. Now, Job is in trouble. And when I read this about Job, and when maybe you read this too, it's hard to imagine Elihu, who isn't going through this trouble, saying these things to a man who is going through this trouble. But it's not just Elihu saying it. This is the Lord through Elihu saying, look, Job, your job, you were put on this earth to magnify your Maker. That's your purpose. Take His work and make it bigger. And now you're in a situation where God's work seems really, really small. And you want to question, and you have questioned, where is God in all this? Be careful, Job. That's the work of the devil. That's what he wants you to say. Blind the hearts and the minds of the people so that God's work is null and void. Where is God? He's been here the whole time. He oversaw this whole thing. He's overseen it. He's allowed things to happen for his own purposes, and we'll see some of those in the end here. Job will understand the purposes at the end, or he'll understand some of it, or at least understand that God is right. The application, remember thou that thou magnify his work. Praise God where the praise is very small. Paul called it the sacrifice of praise. Honor the Lord where the honor seems dishonorable. Thank God where the gratitude seems to disappear. I mean, try to if you can possibly do it, you try to put yourself in Job's position and think, what in the world could I thank God for? But then you think about it a little bit. Job is at least, I don't know, 70 years old at this point. He said it in the beginning. He said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll return thither. I ain't come into this world with anything. God gave me life, and he provided a hedge of protection around Job for 70 years, it looked like. And Job enjoyed a good life. 70 years is a lifetime for a lot of people. That's a whole life. That's more than a life to some people. And Job enjoyed all this, and then one day it was taken away. And Job said, you know, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He understood some perspective at that point. He got some perspective right. Understood, there's some things I can be thankful for, and I can give you some personal testimony, which I already have. And I know you can give some personal testimony too. I'll give you a couple of them. I'd say when a child dies, one of the blessings of that, well, let me give you several. You say, where's the blessing in that? Well, it's not exactly a blessing that they die, but there's some gratitude I can have toward God in these respects. Number one, I know where she is. not lost. Say, well, we lost her. He didn't lose her. I know where she is. Number two, I know that soul, she didn't have to suffer like we've been through this life. She just immediately goes to be with the Lord. I would say that's a blessing. I mean, sometimes in this life, I think the same way. It maybe not really. I mean, you don't want to get crazy about the thing, but you know, sometimes stuff gets just burdensome, and you think, you know, it would have been nice not to have to deal with this life. Just immediately go be with the Lord. And you know what? That's something to be grateful for. Or I could just focus on my emotions about it. And why did you do this? Why did you do this? I sometimes think about this with Lazarus. You know, when Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and, you know, these folks that were brought back from the dead. Think of Samuel. Remember Samuel? I don't know if you remember Samuel. So Samuel dies in the Old Testament. Saul, the night before he dies, he goes to this witch, and I don't know how to explain how all that happens, but Samuel, the soul of Samuel, comes out, and Samuel says, "Why did you call me out here? I was at rest." You know what that is? It's peace. I was at rest. Why did you bring me back up here? I often think about that with like Lazarus or Jairus' daughter, and you know, they come back to life, and all of us as family, we're like, man, if we just see him one more time, you're gonna see him, just not in this condition. And I often think they come back, Lazarus comes back, walks out of the grave, and wonders, why am I back here? Why did you want me to come back here? I was fine. In Jesus Christ, there are all the reasons in the world to magnify God, magnify the work of God. It's our jobs to magnify the work of God. It's the devil's job to minimize the work of God. And he's done a very thorough job in Job's life. He has minimized the work of God to the question, where is God? And Elihu just comes in and he's gently, over the last couple chapters, explained the righteousness of God, and now says, look, this is, the devil's done this, but Job, remember, that's what he says, remember to magnify the work of the Lord. Take the magnifying glass, and it may seem real small. Where do I find the joy in this? Where do I find the thanksgiving in this? Where do I find the blessings in this? And it's my job to look for the blessings. My job to think about the Lord's promises in light of what's happened. Think about the Lord's words in light of what's happened, and not just react and become bitter towards this thing. Honor the Lord where the honor seems dishonorable. I'll end it with this thing. This little illustration. If you can take a finger, thumb, whatever, and you can take that thing, and I can put it right here in front of my eye, and all of y'all disappear. I can take a little thing and make the whole thing disappear. You know what the devil can do? He can take something in your life and he can put it right in front of your eye, and all the work of God disappears. And you can either be the person that puts the thumb in front of your eye or the front of someone else's eye, or you can be the person that says, hey, get your thumb down. Look around. See what God's done. Listen to His promises. Think about His goodness. Or you can be the person that says, ah, I can't see it. I can't see it. I can't see it. And you know what's interesting about that? This little thumb, I mean, it's tiny compared to this room, but I can cover this whole room with this thumb, depending where I put it. You know what the devil does? He'll take some little thing, and he will make it seem catastrophic. And he'll take that thumb and he'll put it right in front of your eye, and all God's work will just disappear. And you can be the person that helps him do that. Or you can be the person that says, now, get this thing out of my eye. I want to see the work of God. I want to think about the work of God. I want to remember the work of God. I want to magnify the work of God. That little simple illustration. But you and I are one of two people in that. We're either the ones that magnify the work of God, or we're the ones that throw up the thing in front of the eye and say, see this? Focus on that. And make the work of God disappear to everybody else. Be careful, because that's exactly the work of the devil. It's exactly what his job is. That's exactly what he's taken upon himself to do. So when Elihu says what he says, remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. They watch. Every man may see it. Many may behold it afar off. You and I, the purpose of our lives is to magnify the work of God.